You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're here to talk about the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and some upcoming very important meetings and announcements we have for you today on the show. We have in the studio with us John Clare, Dave Barron, Brock Rosenkranz, and Doug Duren here to provide some information and some expertise. We'll start with you, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in here.
It's great to be here. We have a couple of meetings coming up that we just want to make people aware of. The first one is next week on Monday night. That's the annual Conservation Congress meeting and hearing, they used to call it. And it's important that folks that are interested in the outdoors attend, whether you're a hunter, fisher, or trapper, or just somebody that likes to canoe or hang out in the outdoors. It's important that people be there.
It's important for input, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a number of things that happen during this meeting. First of all, there's some citizen resolutions that we'll talk about later, and then there are a number of questions to be voted on this year. There's a whole bunch, and you get a chance to either vote in person on next Monday night, or you can do it online beginning on Wednesday.
Where is the meeting going to be held at locally?
It's going to be in the courthouse, actually in the courtroom.
Okay. So have you done that before?
Yeah, we've had it there for a number of years. In fact, as long as I can remember, it's been in the courtroom.
Important that you get that input and that it's well attended, right?
Yes, yes. And there's been some changes. Of course, COVID changed a whole bunch of things, including our meetings. And the meeting has a different kind of format now than it used to have. But it's still important for folks to show up.
Give us kind of the who, what, when, and where, and why, what the Conservation Congress is.
Okay, the Conservation Congress has been around for almost 100 years, for 90 years. It started in 1934, and what it was started for was for folks that are invested in the outdoor activities and in the outdoors to have a chance to have some input on what the rules are and what the policies are in the state of Wisconsin. And the state of Wisconsin is the only state that I know of that has something like that. So it's important that we take advantage of that and give our input as to what we think needs to be changed for positive or negative.
Are meetings held around the state pretty much the same day then?
Yep, same day, all 72 counties. Okay. In the state. And part of the deal is that there's an election. And in order to be part of the election, you have to prove that you're part of the county, that you're a resident. So you have to provide like a driver's license. And there are five delegates in each county. We have four of us here today, and the elections happen every year, and there are different terms. Some are 2-year terms, some are 3-year terms, and both Dave and Julie are up for election this year, and Doug has decided not to continue, and so there'll be three seats open, and we hope that folks will come and vote, and that we will have some volunteers to take some of the empty spots.
I know you encourage people to do that, but you're also there for some information. If somebody has any questions, you guys would be good resources.
Right, and the way it's going to work, the way that it's different now is that meeting actually starts at 6:30. Places open at 6. You can kind of sign in, get the paperwork that you need. And then at 6:30, there will be representatives from the DNR there giving short presentations. Somebody from state parks, somebody from wildlife, somebody from fisheries, and somebody from law enforcement. And they will be giving short presentations about changes and new things on the horizon in all of those areas. And then at 7:00 is when we have the elections, and the elections don't usually take very long here in Richland County, and that should be over fairly quickly. And then after that, what happens is that the folks from the DNR will continue if they haven't finished. And then there are a number of questions, and there are questions for fisheries this year, and then there's a bunch from the Conservation Congress. And each question that is on the docket gets read If it pertains to parts other than Richland County, like there's some that fisheries questions that pertain to one lake up north, if nobody wants to hear that, we kind of skip that. But the rest of them we read, and there's some discussion. And then people can either vote on their paper ballot if they want, or they can kind of save their vote for doing it online at home.
So there's some discussion there, too,
yes,
as well?
Yes, yeah, there's some questions. You know, people mm-hmm. always have questions about why are we changing this? And usually those are pretty well spelled out in the questions. But there's always questions and comments. People, you know, can comment on whether they think this is a great idea or not.
We'll go around the room a little bit. Brock Rosenkranz is here. Brock, you've got a new job. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I am now the Wisconsin Field Support Coordinator for the National Deer Association.
That must be a fun job. Is it a dream job for you?
Being a hunter, yeah, it's definitely kind of a dream job. I set up hunts, butchering workshops, cooking days. Pretty much if it's going to help get people into the outdoors, I set up those type of events and courses and run those for mainly adults, 21 and over usually.
So we think about the deer seasons. What do you do in the off season then? Or is there an off season?
Not really an off season. I obviously work for the Deer Association, so deer is a main focus in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But I do run turkey hunts.
Oh.
The summer I do those butchering and cooking workshops. So that's kind of the off season. That's where we fill that up. Scouting days, teaching people how to use apps like Onyx and how to find spots out on public land, things like that.
Technology has really come into, that wasn't something we thought of that many years ago.
No, yeah, Onyx and things like that, trail cameras, especially these cell cams, things like that are definitely changing the game. I don't personally use a lot of trail cams and stuff because I don't own property to use them on, but Onyx is definitely a huge help for people to use. I sound like I'm just sitting here plugging them right now.
You have to get a little kickback on it, yeah. Maybe. So, trail cams are amazing, though. I mean, you just can really picture some beautiful animals on there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they definitely help. Definitely help your scouting and just cool seeing what's out in the woods. I know Doug over there just got a really cool picture of a bobcat a couple weeks ago, so... some people might be a little scared of those, but definitely don't need to be scared of those. Those are cool to see out there.
Awesome. And turkey, I mean, this season's coming up, isn't it?
Yep, turkey hunting youth season will be next weekend, the 13th and 14th. And it's actually pretty cool. We get special permission to run hunts on those weekends. So I'll be running an adult hunt on the youth weekend. Gets them, these new hunters, gets them a special opportunity to get out there, not have to have drawn a tag like the rest of us do. We can get them out there a little earlier when the turkeys are a little easier to get to rather than the late season. We are still running a late season hunt this year. John and I are. Those are still really fun because the weather's a little nicer then. We don't have to battle with maybe snow or rain or 20-degree nights. So late season turkey hunting is definitely fun as well.
Yeah. How's that going to change a little bit? I know every spring is different, but we actually have some buds on the trees right now.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a little different. Their turkeys have been really fired up the last few days. I heard them out gobbling this morning in the rain. So we're going to have to see how it goes this year.
And you mentioned the youth hunt. Do they have to be accompanied by an adult, or how does that work?
With the youth hunt in the DNR, there's a few different ways you can do it. John, how old do you have to be to hunt alone as a youth?
Alone you have to be 14.
14, yep. Yeah. And then otherwise there's mentored hunts where you can go on and buy a mentor license and you can go with your parent. One gun can be in between the two of you. The parent also has to be a licensed hunter. That's if the kid hasn't taken hunter safety yet. Obviously, if you're 14 years old, you will have needed to take hunter safe to be hunting on your own. I think that covers the youth hunt, right, John?
Yeah, the youth have to have a license, though, so
yes.
What they can buy here in, in Zone 1 of the turkey world, they can buy a sixth-season
yep.
or fifth-season license. They're still available, and they have to have a license for some time period in order to hunt the youth hunt.
Yep, there is no special youth season tag. You just get a later season tag and use it for that season if there's a youth out there that's interested in doing that this year.
I'm not a hunter of turkey, but it seems to me of all the game, that might be the one that takes the most skill. What do you think?
Skill, sometimes a lot of luck. Sometimes they're the easiest bird to hunt. Sometimes they're the hardest. It just depends on the time of year, depends on the area you've been hunting, depends on how many decoys they've seen, depends on how educated they are. But yeah, sometimes they'll just come right in 6:45 in the morning and you're done right away. And then other times you're hunting 7 full days and shooting a Jake on your 7th day. So a Jake being a younger turkey, a Tom being an adult male.
Right. So as you mentioned, getting the youth out there before the turkeys are a little bit less seasoned at that point.
Yes. So yep. So. Yeah. When you're getting out in the youth hunt, the turkeys are definitely a little bit more fired up. They haven't been seeing decoys and stuff. The hens haven't been bred as much yet, so they're a little bit easier to get to sometimes. So
yeah, that's exciting. That season is coming up. Well, move over. We've got Doug Duren here today. Seemed like you were just here talking about the deer hunt, so that wasn't too long ago.
It really wasn't too long ago. It seems like there's always something in season here in Richland County. You know, I have to say, just sitting here listening to these two and looking at them, how proud I am of John and Brock. I think John was the guy who got Brock into hunting back when he was a wee lad, and there sort of this full circle thing happening where Brock is now a learned hunt instructor and running a program, and it's just really great to see those two guys sitting there talking about this stuff.
Indeed, yeah, your mentor there, and that's important to have somebody to take you under the wing sometime, isn't it, Brock?
Yeah, having a mentor is definitely important. That's what my whole... when I run hunts, it's always, if I have 10 mentees, there's going to be 10 mentors there taking people out one-on-one. And yeah, like Doug said, John got me into this when I was a kid, doing a youth learn to turkey hunt through the local Scenic Hills NWTF. And then the next year we went on a duck hunt over towards the basketball area, and I was hooked. I didn't get a turkey that year. I shot a bunch of ducks when we went duck hunting, but I was still hooked. And he's still even taking me out, teaching me how to trap in these last couple of years. So he's still doing it. He's still teaching it at his young age of 43.
Is that right?
That's been a while.
Brock didn't excel in math, I don't think. So what about this bobcat you saw on your camera, Doug?
Yeah, well, you know, that's really interesting. I have a series of trail cameras out, and they're it's a system where I get pictures a couple of times a day, and I had seen this bobcat, and I know it's this particular one because he's actually wearing a collar, a tracking collar.
Oh.
And I've had pictures of him at night going by the camera, but this was the first one that I got during the day, and I think I've had pictures of this bobcat now for 3 years. And why is he wearing a collar? But anyway, here he is during the day, and he's just beautiful. He has a beautiful pelt, big animal. Why is he wearing this collar? Well, some years ago, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe even more, they started a study here in Southwest Wisconsin, a deer and predator study, along with the impact of CWD on the deer herd. Having reached out to some of the people at Department of Natural Resources, they figured that animal had relocated from down here in the southern part of the county all the way up to the northeast part of the county, and the collar is no longer functional, but it's still wearing it, I guess, as, you know, bling or something now. But it's clearly not bothering him, and it has an expandable thing on it. It's just a real interesting thing to see, and that's one of my favorite things about having trail cameras, is that you get to see all this other wildlife. I have way too many pictures of raccoons lately, but as Brock was talking about with the turkeys and them getting fired up, I've got pictures of turkeys jumping around in front of the cameras. It's like they're showing off for the camera or something. It's great. It's great fun to see that stuff.
Here we are. Come get us, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah. Teasing you a little bit. So should we be concerned of bobcats or not?
Oh, no.
No?
No, tend to be a solitary animal, except for when, a female has a litter. And they are going to certainly stay away from you more than you should be afraid of them. And I think that's the case with pretty much any predator that we have out there. Coyotes being the other big one, and, you know, Coyotes will run from you rather than, you know, confront you or anything like that. And we really don't have anything like mountain lions or cougars around here. There have been, some have been spotted, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
See any bear?
I have not, but people in our area have. And I think that's the same. It's similar in that we have some of the habitat that bear would do fine in, but they're having to, you know, translocate to this area. So personally, I've not seen any, but I know people who have.
As we mentioned, turkey season coming up. Now, when you and I were growing up, that wasn't a common thing, turkeys around here.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but but you're right. Yeah, I remember having gone away, and man, this was like the late 70s, and John might know when they first introduced turkeys here, but...
Yeah, mid-70s.
In the mid-70s. Yeah. And I remember coming back, yeah, I'd been traveling or gallivanting around the country, and came back and was helping my dad make hay, and came off the ridge, and this giant bird got up in front of me, and I had no idea what it was. And I asked him about it. He goes, it's probably one of those turkeys that they released around here. And now, you know, they're everywhere. And I moved away then during the... I was gone pretty much all of the 80s and lived in New England. And then when I came back, all my friends were way into turkey hunting. I was like, what is this turkey hunting? You know, and I wasn't quite sure about it. But once I got into it, I was real interested in as well. I would say that if you made me choose between deer hunting and turkey hunting, I would choose turkey hunting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Well, I don't know, maybe some of it, there isn't so much angst around turkey hunting as there is deer hunting. I really do think that's a part of it, and we certainly can get into talking about deer hunting, but, you know, there's all these concerns about deer, and then there's complaints about there aren't enough deer, or we, you know, our area have too many, but you hear all these things, and I think that if deer did the same thing that turkeys did in the woods, that we wouldn't have a concern. That is, when you go out and make some noise, sounding like a turkey, theoretically, they'll gobble back at you. So you've got these birds out there in the woods that are hollering back at you. So even if you don't, you know, harvest one, kill one, that with all that noise going on, you know that they're out there. Now, if we had deer out there, you know, barking at us or something, that people would probably be a lot less concerned about the deer numbers. We don't, on a percentage basis, we don't have as high a success rate with turkey hunting as we do with deer hunting. So, you know, it's just a different animal. And honestly, being out there in the spring of the year and when in the morning when they're waking up and they're gobbling and all that's going on, it's a real special moment.
Mm-hmm. What would you rather eat?
Well, that's boy. Both. How's that?
Okay. I have a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Have you made any videos lately? You've been doing that?
What was the last thing we did? We have not shot, that's not true. We have some videos on the Savage website and also on the Sharing the Land website that are about a couple of things that are near and dear to my heart. One of them is about Eldo Leopold and the Riley Game Cooperative, which is really the Leopold, who's an inspiration to all of us, of course, here in this room. But then his Riley Game Cooperative, which was a bartering system, essentially. He and some buddies from town went to the area of Riley, Wisconsin, down by Verona, and they traded work for access with landowners. And this program that I started, Sharing the Land, is completely inspired by that. I ripped Leopold off completely for this program. And so we shot a couple of videos with Savage. One is about Leopold and Riley Game Cooperative. There's another about our farm, and we are in production of the third one, which will be about sharing a general overview of sharing the land.
Okay. So that's, and then do you do that kind of regularly or just when a topic comes up you want to talk about? Or?
You know, it's funny that you ask that because it's like I forget all the things we have going on because it's, you know, stuff keeps popping up. We shot some videos last year that'll be coming out later this summer with Meat Eater. Okay. And my friend Mark Kenyon, who's their whitetail bow hunting guy. And we did a hunt with him on our farm. And it was real interesting. Speaking of bobcats, we speculate that one of the deer that he shot was eaten by a bobcat just by the way it was eaten. And then he also arrowed a really nice buck that ended up falling in a creek and dying. And we had brought a dog out from a local guy, and brought a dog out to find it. So it was really, that was pretty interesting. That's the kind of stuff I've got things like that going on all the time. I'm about to host some youth hunters. And then we have a couple of different events going on during the turkey season, and there'll be some more filming there. And I kind of forget about how much that kind of stuff I have going on.
Something all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave Barron is here. Dave, welcome to the program. You wanted to be the anchor man here.
And I'm not sure why, listening to all these guys.
We have some important meetings coming up, though. They're important to encourage people to go to.
Right. We've got the Conservation Congress meeting, as John alluded to. It's very important that people show up, for the simple reason is this is where they get to put their input. We hear that, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does. We take this stuff back and it gets voted on at the convention. Then it goes to the National Resource Board. We were talking this morning, something we started, replacement tag. Come on, guys, bail me out on this one. If you shoot a positive CWD positive deer, you were getting a buck tag. Now it's going to be an either or tag, and that's
for shooting a doe.
I hate to correct Dave. I live to correct Dave, actually.
Yeah, you do. But that was something that originally started at our CDAC meetings.
Okay.
And, it ended up going all the way through and it's been passed. What else have we put forward that?
That's the most recent one. We have at the meeting, you have an opportunity to introduce what are called citizen resolutions. Anybody can come to the meeting, although the process has changed a little bit now. They have somebody that will help you write the resolution, and it has to be submitted a little before the meeting. But it used to be when Doug submitted the one we're talking about a few years ago, he just wrote a resolution, brought it up. If it passes in the county that it was introduced in, then it goes through a whole process where all the counties get to weigh in on it, and eventually becomes a DNR question. And if it passes muster there, then it can actually become a law or a hunting regulation or a hunting rule. A few years ago, Doug introduced the fact that came out of our CDAC, a deer advisory council, that we would, if you have a doe tested, part of our thing amongst the group here is that we wish everybody would test their deer for chronic wasting disease. If you test a doe and it turns out to be positive, you get a replacement tag that's either or, so you can shoot a buck or a doe on that, and that becomes law now this upcoming deer season.
Yeah, it's a long process. Appreciate you giving me credit for that, just because I was the guy who wrote it, but it really came out of our County Deer Advisory Council, and it's a really good group of people that we have. We have, I think, robust discussions about deer population, about our concerns about the deer, and what we can do about it, and we give the public an opportunity to have input with us, and we can pass that along as best we can. But one of our members came up with this idea of this replacement tag being either or. And so the point would be is that you would get more deer tested and you might be more apt to shoot a doe that, is from a chronic wasting disease area. So we're really incentivizing rather than, punishing or making people do things. Incentives seem to work better than making people do things. So this idea really came out of a good group discussion, and here we are now this year. It's becoming a part of the regulations. I don't know that it's ever become law necessarily, but the regulations for the deer season.
important to have that input. I think people feel that way, you know. And again, you're encouraging people. You just want people to get out in the woods. That's another way if they feel like they're heard, right?
You're right. And this is why I wanted to be anchor. You notice I brought something up and passed it off.
Yeah, you did a good job.
You see how
the quarterback.
That was pretty good. I don't know why. You have another question.
Public input, though, yeah. it's important when you see
it's
that.
It's very important. And with our two meetings coming up, you know, the Conservation Congress meeting first, you get to make inputs there, like John was saying. And then we've got the CDAC meeting coming up, and that's the Deer Advisory Council. There's 72, all counties have them. And we put forward what we would like to see, you know, like Doug wrote the, you know, for the tag. If people come in and they have a problem and they would like it, our council will look at it and we can pass it forward. And this is how the public can get involved with getting things done. You know, both meetings have their purposes. So if you don't attend, you have no reason to bitch about anything.
That's right. So the first one is April 8th. Do we mention when the second meeting was?
No, but it
29th.
April
29th. April 8th is the Conservation Congress meeting, and then April 29th, which is a Monday, is the CDAC meeting. And at CDAC meeting this year, we've been having them at the campus, of course, but we can't do that anymore. So it's in the basement conference room at the courthouse.
Okay.
It starts at 7.
Mark that on the calendar. If anybody is listening this morning and they have maybe a question of our panel, it's rare to have this many guys with all this expertise in one studio. So, give us a call, 647-4155. We can submit a question to any of our gentlemen today, and we'll be back with more on The Morning Show after these words. Welcome back to The Morning Show here today on WRCO Radio. We're talking about the Conservation Congress and the upcoming meetings, very important meetings in our area, the CDAC meeting later on this month of April as well. Some of our astute listeners submitting questions to the program here today. We'll direct this one to Doug Duren here to my right. To get more deer tested for CWD, why not bring back Earn a Buck for holiday season? Doug?
I think that's a great idea, and I think everybody in this room would agree to that. The problem is that Earn a Buck was outlawed by the legislature a few years ago, and if we had that option as a CDAC, we would certainly be doing it, but it would take a change in law for that to happen. And you can wonder why the legislators would be making deer policy versus using the experts, the biologists at the DNR to do it. But anyway, in their infinite wisdom, the legislature took that away. We would love to have Earn a Buck back. We'd like to be able to extend the gun season. We know that we manage deer with guns, not with bows and arrows. The bow hunters have their season, an extended gun season with being able to shoot bucks. Would certainly give us that opportunity.
What changes do you think could be made? Because we're always encouraging people to come back to the woods. And I think the numbers were a little better last fall for the season. Is there anything that comes to mind that might encourage more people to come out and hunt?
I think that all three of us would agree that the number one of the biggest reasons, I should say, that people aren't getting to the woods is access to private land is a problem. In our area, 95% of the hunting land is privately owned, and you know, folks buy land for hunting or they have a farm and they also hunt. More people getting on that land would be helpful. To that, I started a program a few years ago called Sharing the Land, and in that people who make a contribution to the conservation of our property, or like in the case of Brock, who's actually my first Sharing the Land cooperator, who's still around, he was volunteering for the Conservation Congress. And I had a chat with him a couple of years in a row, and then he told me he lost his turkey hunting place. And I was like, why don't you come and hunt in my place? And so he did. And so that's the kind of thing, right? It's age-old system. It's a bartering system. But I would really encourage landowners to allow more access to their properties.
Do you have a waiting list for your sharing the land program?
I have a waiting list of about 100 people for my property, but we have four other properties in the state, and we actually have properties in eight different states, about 30 different properties, but we have across the country over 1,200 access seekers also.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today.
Soft serve and made fresh root beer in a frosty mug? You'll definitely love a float. Only at A&W.
Always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
WRCO 100.9 FM.
News This Time is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed & Such, the friendly feed store. 36 for a high today, an additional half inch or so possible. A winter storm warning remains in effect for Vernon and Richland counties until 10 o'clock this morning, and for our entire listening area, a winter weather advisory until 1 this afternoon. School announcements, the Richland District is closed today. That includes St. Mary and Eagle, Ithaca, Kickapoo, Weston, Hillsboro, Lafarge, North Crawford, Boscobel, and Highland, all closed. Riverdale is closed, will feature virtual learning, and River Valley has gone to a virtual learning day that includes St. John's and St. Luke's. Southwest Tech Campus and its outreach sites will be closed, and virtual learning will be featured. Two-hour late start for Fenimore and Wazika Steuben schools, and Vark Roots will be operating 2 hours late.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Yesterday was Spring Election Day, featuring local races, state referendums, and the presidential primary. Richland Center Mayor Todd Coppernall will remain mayor for another 2 years after defeating challenger Karen Tepley 725-321 on Tuesday. Richland County Board Supervisor Gary Manning maintained his seat in District 8 in a close race. Unofficially, he defeated his challenger Cheryl Dull, 90-89. Sauk County Board District 22 Supervisor Sheila Carver maintained her seat following a challenge by Jean Berlin. Carver received 237 to Berlin's 113. There were a number of school referendum questions on the ballots around the area. The Richland School District's two referendum questions have passed. The first question, a non-recurring operational referendum seeking to exceed the revenue limit by $9.8 million over the next 4 years, passed with 1,207 yes votes to 1,068 no votes. The second question, a CAFL referendum seeking $27,160,000 for facility improvement projects and upgrades, passed with 1,141 yes votes to 1,129 no votes. The Kickapoo referendum has unofficially passed. The Kickapoo District was seeking a $1.6 million recurring referendum for operational expenses. Unofficial results show it passed 362-320. The Fenimore School District referendum to spend $17 million passed with nearly 66% of the votes, 669-348. The River Valley School District's referendum questions were both defeated Tuesday. The first question included renovations at the elementary, middle, and high schools at a cost of $19.5 million. It failed with 56% voting no. It was 1,757 no votes to 1,409.
98 yes votes. The second question included a building project of the high school at a cost of $14.5 million. That question failed with 66% voting no, 2,153 to 1,090. The River Valley School District's referendum questions were both defeated. The first question, including renovations and that at a cost of $19.5 million, failed with 56% voting no. Private money to fund elections will be banned in Wisconsin after voters approved a constitutional amendment Tuesday, put forward by Republicans in reaction to grants received in 2020 that were funded by donations from Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Voters also have approved a second question put on the ballot by the Republican-controlled legislature that amends the Constitution to say that only election officials can administer elections. That's already state law, but putting it in the Constitution makes it more difficult to repeal or change. Wisconsin's choices for presidential candidates are in. Donald Trump and President Joe Biden will be the Republican and Democratic nominees for president. With no close rivals in either party, the two races were a near lock ahead of the Tuesday election. Trump beat rival Nikki Haley with 78% of the vote. Over 8% of Democratic ballots came in uninstructed as a part of a protest against President Biden's handling of the Gaza crisis. Those supporting the uninstructed vote said they wanted to pick up 20,000 votes, the same number Biden beat Trump by in Wisconsin in 2020. The number was met at 23,000, according to the New York Times. Two key votes in Milwaukee in the Tuesday night election. A massive $252 million school spending referendum in Milwaukee has been approved by a narrow margin, 51% to 49%. The district is facing a $200 million deficit and said if the spending measure didn't pass, there would be more cuts in the district. Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer has lost to former Democratic State Representative Evan Goyke. Goyke dropped out of the assembly to run against Spencer, who faced criticism after his deputy was caught doing work for his personal firm on city time. The number of Wisconsin voters casting absentee ballots has declined, according to data released Tuesday by the Elections Commission in Wisconsin. Absentee voting continues to decrease from the high seen 4 years ago. The latest update showed 358,180 absentee ballot requests for the Tuesday spring election. That's down from the 908,444 ballots clerks sent out for the 2020 presidential primary during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Richland County Emergency Services Building will get a new roof. The building, located at 1027 North Jefferson Street in Richland Center, was purchased with an appraisal of the building from January of 2020, indicating the roof was approximately 20 years old. The Joint Ambulance Committee had indicated in the business plan to replace the western and northern sections of the roof in 2026 and do minor repairs. However, it has been found that the replacement costs are more economically feasible at this time. The committee also approved the payment of an invoice for the ambulance service in the amount of $12,815 for change orders associated with the emergency services building project and an amendment to a previous resolution concerning the purchase of a used ambulance from the Muscadet Ambulance Service to include preventative maintenance repairs not to exceed $15,000.
Hello friends, it's Ellie from Chet's. Spring is just around the corner, and you know what that means? Chick season. Chet's is your local chick headquarters. We have heat lamps, starter feed, and even the chicks themselves. Don't forget about your furry friends. At our new location, there are so many cat and dog toys to choose from, and they're all 10% off. Stop by and check out our large selection of pet foods to keep your companions happy and healthy. We appreciate every single one of our friends, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Come say hi and check out the new store at 880 North Orange Street, Richland Center.
Today's high 36, a winter storm warning in effect for Vernon and Richland counties until 10 this morning. And the winter weather advisory for our entire area lasts until 1 today. School announcements, and there are plenty. Today closed, Richland, including St. Mary and Eagle, Ithaca, Kickapoo, Weston, Hillsboro, Lafarge, North Crawford, Boscobel, and Highland. Riverdale is closed but will feature virtual learning. River Valley, including St. John's and St. Luke's, is closed and will have virtual learning in the River Valley District. Southwest Tech Campus and its outreach sites will be closed and virtual learning will be featured. These schools are 2 hours late, Fenimore and Waseca Steuben. Vark routes will be operating 2 hours late. There were some issues early this morning along Highway 58 at 154. That power outage was taken care of by Richland Electric Cooperative crews. If you are without power along the REC lines, you can report that on Smart Hub or call 608-647-3173. Richland County Senior Nutrition Program has announced meal sites will be closed and there are no home-delivered meals. Grant County Meals on Wheels meal sites and the ADRC bus are all canceled today. Richland Center Landfill is closed and ET Foods will open at 10 o'clock this morning. Those among the weather reminders we have today.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look back at a successful day for Milwaukee and an unsuccessful day for the Bucks last night.
As we go through our lives, our ability to do everyday tasks often changes. Aging, injuries, and some diseases can make daily tasks that were once easy, difficult. Occupational therapists work with people who may struggle to complete the tasks needed for daily living. After assessing your individual abilities and needs, an occupational therapist will work with you to learn new ways to perform these tasks and help you live with more independence. Find out more at the Richland Hospital and Clinics.
Our high school schedule went by the wayside yesterday, and who knows for the rest of the week, especially tomorrow. It looks a little iffy. There are plenty of things scheduled and even conference openers for some area conferences as early as tomorrow in high school sports. By beating the Twins 3-2 yesterday, the Brewers extended their season-opening winning streak to four straight. Rookie Jackson Chirio singled in a run. Christian Yelich hit a home run, and Bryce Tarang doubled in front of a crowd of 41,659. For Milwaukee's home opener. Here is Christian Yelich.
Look, we play a lot of tight games as a group over the years. I think anybody that's watched us knows that we're playing tight games. And when you play tight games, they can go either way. There's a few plays every day or night that really decide the outcome of those. And I think to be on a good team, you have to win a lot of close games because at the end of the season, they end up mattering.
Joe Ross makes his first start in 2.5 years when the two border state rivals wrap up the two-game series this afternoon. Brewers tailgaters weren't going to let a cold rain dampen their fun for the new season. Temperatures in the 30s and the threat of snow wouldn't stop them. One fan told reporters tailgating was more than half the experience. There were some bumps in the road, though, for fans using the new parking arrangement at Milwaukee. Some had a hard time getting the online system to load on their computers and phones. 15 minutes before the first pitch, some were still struggling with the new process. The Brewers announced that no parking violations would be assessed during yesterday's game. Elsewhere, the Angels 3-1 over Miami, White Sox 3, Atlanta 2, Arizona 7-0 over the Yankees. In the National League, Philadelphia 9, Cincinnati 4, the Cubs 12-2 over Colorado, St. Louis 5 and San Diego 2, Dodgers 5-4 over San Francisco. In the American League, Kansas City 4, Baltimore 1, Tampa Bay 5-2 over Texas, Toronto 2, Houston 1, Cleveland 5-2 over Seattle, Boston 5-4 over Oakland. In the NBA last night, a triple-double by Giannis Antetokounmpo wasn't enough to salvage the Tuesday game in Washington against the Wizards. The Bucks dropped a 117-113 decision, even though the two-time MVP scored 35 points, took down 15 rebounds, and handed out 10 assists. Star guard Damian Lillard missed his second straight game, but his coach Doc Rivers expects Lillard to be available for tonight's game at home against Memphis. Here is Coach Rivers.
I don't know. I just think they outplayed us. Give them credit. I thought they were faster, quicker. They attacked. You know, we took 2 days off, you know, for a reason to get our legs, and I felt like we were very sloppy. That may have something to do with it. I don't know. But I don't know if we took them light or not, to be honest. I just thought they outplayed us.
And former Packers star linebacker Clay Matthews doesn't like the way Aaron Jones departed from Green Bay and how that was handled. Matthews reacted on X to a comment from head coach Matt LaFleur that he was surprised when Jones was released. Matthews posted that he finds the lack of communication between the head coach and general manager Brian Gutekunst to be, in his words, wild. He points out that during last season at times, Jones was Green Bay's offense. The team let the standout running back leave when he wouldn't accept a second straight annual pay cut. That's an update on sports for a Wednesday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 2,101 horsepower. He's excellent.
But if you can go on sharingtheland.com and kind of see what the system is, and if you're a landowner in southwest Wisconsin and you're willing to let folks hunt on your property or access your property in seasons that you're not using. And mine's a great example. We don't use all the turkey seasons, so I allow access on those other times. But also, guys like Brock and Dave even, have come out and helped out with projects on the farm. And doing that, in return for that, I grant them access. So I think that's, you know, it's when I was a kid or when we were all kids, that was how it happened. You helped your neighbor out with something, and the hunting season came around, you had the opportunity. So that's all we're doing with sharing the land. We formalized that process.
It helps to know them a little better, to know who's on there. And
well, that's exactly
the character.
You develop cooperation, you develop a relationship with the landowner, you develop a relationship with that land, and you know more about it as a result. And that is one of the number one things. I think Brock would go over to him, but I think that people who are interested in mentoring and taking other people out is the big thing. You know, a place to go and somebody to go with are two big obstacles in hunting.
Is that what you see, Brock?
Yeah, absolutely. It's anybody that comes through any of my classes, it's the place to go and somebody to go with. And that's why a lot of those classes I'm going to run and do run are just scouting days and how to find a place to go on public land on your own. You know, there is quite a bit of public land in other parts of the state, so that's why I do run those. We have good chunks here in the county. 5% of it is public, and what's there is good hunting land. But there's some barriers for people that are trying to get into it, and they're barriers for a reason because they're kind of hard to break down sometimes. But just takes a little bit of kindness usually to help people get out into hunting and find a new passion that they'll probably carry with them the rest of their life.
With your job, do you just cover the southwestern Wisconsin area, or where do you go?
No, I cover the entire state, obviously. Okay. Since I live here, kind of the home range, but I do kind of get out Sandhill Wildlife Area, I'm going to be getting up to Meade up north, Kettle Moraine over towards Milwaukee, Mississippi Valley Conservancy I'm working with some private landowners there, so getting all over.
Oh, wow. Yep. And every place has their own maybe highlight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you get up to Sandhill, you're getting into the sand barrens and stuff like that up in the central part of the state. Get over to Kettle Moraine. There's a lot of swampiness down there. It's definitely more flat over by Milwaukee. Then obviously in our home here in Richland County, it's very hilly and got all the driftless hills and everything like that. So definitely different ecosystems throughout the state. And so that's the kind of a perk of the job too. It's fun teaching all the different areas, not just Richland Center area.
Always good to get back home, I bet.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to come home.
Sure. Is there going to be a Brock Rosencrantz cookbook somewhere along the line?
You thought about that? I think that might be 20, 30 years down the line. But, Sloppy Joe's, I can only make so many ways.
Using venison, though.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. What measures are being taken to protect endangered species and promote conservation in Wisconsin? Anybody?
Yeah, every year there are some questions that come before the Congress and are voted on at the meetings that have to do with conservation. There's some on, I read through them last night, there's some on PFAS, which are a chemical that lasts forever. There's always some about protecting bluebirds. There's one on the questionnaire this year. There's a number of different questions that are not just hunting and fishing and trapping, but there are a number of questions that are about the natural resources, water resources, air, all kinds of them.
You know, and I've lived around here basically all my life, but I've seen more eagles in the last couple of years than I have my whole life. Yes. Do you notice those in Cazenovia area there?
Yeah, I live right on the lake in Cazenovia, and it's a regular occurrence to see them. The bald eagle's a great example of a restored species as a result of being on the endangered species list. And the change in outlawing of using DDT, which was a part of the problem with they'd ingest it and it was a problem with their eggs. So that's one. I'm sure people are aware of the issues that we have in the state with the wolf up north, the gray wolf up north, and there's a lot of discussion about that. And they're still on the endangered species list, and it's a little bit of a head scratcher. Why? Because they've truly reestablish themselves in the northern part of the state. I don't pretend to be a wolf researcher or anything like that, but and I think wolves are cool and I want to see them on the landscape, but like other natural resources, I think they need to be managed.
Let's get back to Dave, too. We wanted to talk a little bit about the dumpsters and the kiosks. I know when you were here last November, we talked about that, but how did it go for last year's season?
They went very well, actually. Let's see. We've got 5 dumpsters in Richland County. And we've replaced everyone at least twice. Right, Doug?
I'm just giving you enough rope to hang yourself.
Good job. We've replaced them twice. Most of the dumpsters have kiosks next to them, which the kiosks are there to put your deer head in there and get it tested for CWD. And we're going to talk about my pet peeve.
What's that?
Which is people do not get their deer tested. The kiosk is 10 yards away from the dumpster. They'll take the whole skeleton head and everything and dump it in the dumpster, and then we don't get the results of our CWD problem. Some statistics I found out recently is, and these are approximate, the DNR hasn't put solid numbers out yet, but there's like 250,000 deer killed in the state of Wisconsin. Of those 250,000 deer, only 11,500 deer were tested. So how do we truly know if we're even getting ahead of controlling the CWD and where it really is all the time? So that's my pet peeve. You know, the dumpster's
point.
There, the kiosk is there. Why don't you cut the head off and fill out the paperwork, put it in a plastic bag? But a lot of people don't care. They'll just eat the deer anyway. Well, that's fine. But give us some true numbers on where we're at with the CWD problem.
I have to
say something.
Well, great job, Dave. We killed about 6,000 deer in the county last year, and that's pretty much what we kill every year, more or less 6,000 deer, and we got about 1,500 tested. So 25%, I went to Weston, so I'm having a little trouble with the percentages there, but I think that's 25%. And that's probably the highest in the state in terms of the number, the percentage of deer killed that get tested. And we're doing it on a voluntary basis. And I think some of that is because you have us on, we get to talk about this. And, you know, the sad truth is that almost 30% of the deer in our county that get tested are testing positive. And as I think everybody in this room can tell you, we're seeing more sick and dying and dead deer from the disease. We're really not getting a hold of it, control of it, because we have not been controlling population. Our population is about the same. There are areas where there is some crashing, some population issues happening, and that's problematic. So, you know, in our area, we should, I think Dave's right, it's ridiculous that people don't get their deer tested if they're, and but I understand it's everything's voluntary. So how do we incentivize them to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, one is through this that if your deer is positive, it's a doe and it's positive, you'll get a buck tag and or a either sex tag to replace it, and that's one of the incentives that's out there for people to, you know, to encourage more testing.
Were there some numbers last year from, you know, CWD and how that looked in the county, or as you mentioned, would they be skewed a little bit if they, you know, all the deer weren't tested?
Well, I would speculate that if all the deer that were killed in the county were tested, that we would have a higher percentage. Because, for instance, on our farm where we killed 47 deer last year, we test every deer, and we kill, what I always tell folks when they hunt on our place is kill the deer that's in front of you. We're trying to control population there. And so we've killed fawns, we've killed year and a half old does and bucks, and then adults. And the younger deer are less apt to, and does are less apt to be positive. 50% and more of the bucks that we kill are testing positive, whereas about 20% of the does and less than that in fawns. But if you're getting all those deer tested, that's going to drop your number down. Yet 30%, 29.7% of the deer on my farm tested positive. So, and that's kind of the way it is countywide. So maybe we're a good, our little testing area and that many deer in our region up there around Cazenovia, maybe that's a good indicator of what the percentage is like across the, you know, the demographic and the two sexes.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, Dave, the people don't want to wait. Is that one of the reasons you see why they don't get them tested?
Well, actually, it's gotten much better.
Has it?
I think it was less than 2 weeks this year you got your results back. Talking about little hot spots over in Ithaca, that's where our property is. In the last 2 months, we've had 5 positive deer that we've found dead or had to be killed because they were sick. So, and unfortunately, that was within 200 yards of my house. So, I have a real hot spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know what to do about that. And you know, eliminate all the deer as possible. So,
I think it's important to note, since we're going down this route a little bit, that the only tool that we have for controlling disease is controlling population. It's a communicable disease, right? So if you have a lot of animals crowded in a particular area and one of them is sick, it's apt to be spread through the rest of that herd more quickly. So one of the, really the only tool that we have is to reduce population. And by reducing population, the idea is that prevalence, being the number of deer of a particular group that are positive, prevalence will go down because there isn't going to be as much interaction between the deer. And in some areas, that's been proven to be true. So it's the only tool we've got. There's no cure for this disease. So the only tool we have is to reduce the herd.
We're looking at public input, and we have a couple more questions to get to our expert panel. We'll do that when the morning show continues here. Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio as we wrap up our conversation with John Clare, Dave Barron, Brock Rosenkranz, and Doug Doran. And again, we have some input from our listeners today. A question about the DNR and why not informing of predators being released. Is that John?
The DNR doesn't release predators without telling people. You know, the wolves are the big issue here in Wisconsin. Those were not released. They found their way from Minnesota or Michigan. Nobody knows for sure. That's been a long time. I can remember going to environmental conferences and having the wolf expert talk about that, and that was, holy cow, 30 years ago. At least the bobcats haven't been released. Coyotes haven't been released. They found their way here.
And maybe Doug, you can. Somebody had a question about shared property and using land that's not their own. And you mentioned leasing is a big thing now too.
Well, right. There's a number of ways that people get access to land. Right. You buy property. And which is happening more and more in Richland County, that people are buying, in whole, all of southwest Wisconsin, they're buying land for recreation, hunting being one of the reasons. I mean, we all know folks that bought land specifically for that. So people who buy land for hunting and recreation are maybe a little less apt to just share it with anybody, right? But they'll usually share it with friends and family, which is sort of the age-old way of doing things. Farmers, I mean, at least when I was growing up, I didn't bow hunt because bow hunting's for people who don't have enough to do. And I work that in wherever I can. And there wasn't an opportunity when I was, I mean, we just didn't have time for that when I was a kid. So we gun hunted, right? But we would help, you know, we had friends and neighbors that we would help with different work, and then we all hunted together. Those days are kind of gone, you know, deer drives and all that have sort of faded away. But so leasing has become a thing where I know, well, heck, I'm one of them. I actually lease my place because I don't bow hunt. I lease to some bow hunters. And then after that, when those guys are gone, then it's friends and family, and then my sharing the land cooperators as well who deer hunt it. And that's why that's how we're able to kill 47 deer in a deer season on 600 acres.
John Clare, Dave Barron, Brock Rosencrans, and Doug Duren on the morning show today from WRCO.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD.